shedding light on those that are, eyes are growing old and need more light. Please take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 17 through 33. Acts chapter 10, beginning of verse 17. While Peter was deeply perplexed about what the vision he had seen might mean, right away the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions to Simon's house, stood at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was also named Peter, was lodging there. While Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit told him, "Three men are here looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them with no doubts at all, because I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men and said, "Here I am, the one you're looking for. What is the reason you're here?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who has a good reputation with the whole Jewish nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to call you to his house and to hear a message from you." Peter then invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and set out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went with him. The following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was expecting them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up and said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." While talking with him, he went in and found a large gathering of people. Peter said to them, "You know it's forbidden for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a foreigner. But God has shown me that I must not call any person impure or unclean. That's why I came without any objection when I was sent for. So may I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius replied, "Four days ago, at this hour, at 3 p.m, I was praying in my house. Just then a man in dazzling clothing stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your acts of charity have been remembered in God's sight. Therefore, send someone to Joppa and invite Simon here, who is also named Peter. He is lodging in Simon the tanner's house by the sea. So I immediately sent for you, and it was good of you to come. So now we are all in the presence of God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord." You may be seated. Now, some of this situation might seem like, why didn't he know that? Because we've already seen Peter's side and Cornelius' side. But Peter hasn't seen what Cornelius saw, and Cornelius hadn't seen what Peter saw. But we see both. Sometimes when we read Scripture, why can't they see it? It's so obvious. It's because we've already read the rest of the story. They're experiencing the story. Now, Peter's had a vision. He's had a vision about a sheet, or something like a sheet let down from heaven, with all the birds, reptiles, and animals of the world. And God tells him, "Take and kill and eat." "No," says Peter. "I've never eaten anything unclean." 3 times Peter gets this vision, and then is lifted up into heaven. Peter's a little perplexed. He's wondering what this vision means. Now, I can sort of give you an idea of sort of how perplexed he was. If you've ever been to an art gallery with an exhibit of modern art, is that the way it goes? Do they have it upside down? Is there a right side up? What are they trying to portray there? You know, I like the realist in the art. So I can figure out. He painted a boat. He painted a person. Yeah. Picasso is sort of halfway in between. I can see he painted a boat, but then he cut it into little pieces and moved it around. Picasso's child was a little concerned too, because dad painted the child's shoes. And can you imagine dad painting your tennis shoes and sending you off to school? Thing is, can you imagine if that child kept those shoes, how much they're worth now? But that's because some people don't have any appreciation for art, and it's just a mass conspiracy. That's a good painting. We can't figure out what it is. It's okay. Peter's trying to figure out what the vision means. Some people that play Sudoku, I do that, and I'm trying to go, well, does the two go there? No, it can't go there. And it could put it over here. No, it can't go there. That's sort of what the word that says Peter's doubting. He's doubting, could it mean this? No, it can't mean that. Could it mean this? No, it can't. And so his doubting is he's doubting his theories, what the vision might mean. And then if you're trying to figure something out like that, you can chase it a little bit and it doesn't quite go there. Well, God has been preparing Peter. But God's also been preparing Cornelius. Cornelius is from the Roman army, and he's part of the Italian regiment. The Italian regiment was a group of foreigners. They weren't native soldiers. They weren't soldiers that Rome recruited from Jewish people. They were people that were soldiers from other countries. So it's the foreigners division. And that's one thing. If you ever heard about the French Foreign Legion, the French Foreign Legion doesn't mean it's the French soldiers serving in foreign countries. It's people from other countries other than France serving in the French army. It's the Foreign Legion, the Legion of Foreigners. And that's kind of what when Cornelius says he's of an Italian regiment, he's a foreigner to Israel. And that's important because God is sending a message to Peter that foreigners are okay in God's sight. Now, it had become a point that the Jewish teachers, the rabbis, had said, treat all Jewish people well, but you can do bad things if they're not Jewish. You don't want to do anything nice to them. They're separate from God's blessing. That's nowhere in Scripture. God says for the Israelites to separate themselves in the way they live, but that they were to be priests to the whole world. They just got wrapped up. We're just special. It's like some churches. You visit and you get that look. What are you doing here? Some people think they're special because they're in that church. Instead of going, we need people coming here. We're here to get recharged, to go out and tell the message to other people. But sometimes people get wrapped up in their confusion about what God has called them to do. So Peter's confused. What does that mean? Wonder what it means. God doesn't leave him hanging. So Peter, there's three guys downstairs here for you. Go with them. Don't ask them any questions about if you should go with them or not. Ah! God, when Peter was looking for an answer, was given an answer. The guys from Cornelius are downstairs going, is this the right house? Now, it doesn't say they ever said anything to Peter. Peter comes down and out and says, I'm the guy you're looking for. It's not like, are you the one we're looking for? No. Peter comes. He'd already get the message from God, been given the message from God. There you go. Let's see if I can keep my words going straight. And Peter comes out, I'm the guy you're looking for. Why are you here? Because remember, from Peter's perspective, all he's been told is, kill and eat. What does that mean? There's three guys downstairs waiting for you. Go with them. Okay? That's it. So when Peter gets down, okay, you're the guys God told me to meet with, go with, but where are we going? Why are you here for me? And they said, we're from Cornelius, a Roman centurion, an officer in the Roman army. He had a vision. Sin for Peter, who's staying with Simon the Tanner. Now remember, Peter's been up on the roof waiting for lunch. He's hungry. So he invites these guys in to stay with him. It's about a two-day journey, roughly 33 miles. Now, you don't get on the train. You don't get on the little commuter hop. You don't get on the helicopter and ride there. All that's it. We figured out the thing down at Galveston. They have this wonderful helicopter ride. It goes for 7 miles. But we watched them. It's 3.5 miles from the launching pad to a jetty. They turn around and go back. They didn't have one of those helicopters to take Peter there. Now, God could have transported him like he did Philip. They had to walk. And if you're going on a 33-mile walk, it's not going to necessarily get there in one day. Generally, the average distance an army would travel in one day was 20 miles. So it's a day and a half journey if you're walking steady. Well, Peter invites these three guys in to spend the night. The next day, Peter, these three guys, and six more people from Joppa. Where you get the six people? Chapter 11 tells us six people went with Peter. But that's the next chapter. We'll get there. So it just tells us people from Joppa, brothers, went with Peter. We need witnesses because God's going to show a great message to everybody, especially the Jewish believers that thought God's message was only for Jewish people. Half Jewish are okay, Samaritans, but those people that had no Jewish heritage, the foreigners, a soldier from the foreign group. Well, Peter goes with these people. They get to Caesarea. Peter meets Cornelius. Why am I here? Cornelius says, God gave me a message. Send for you because you have a message for us to hear. Peter goes in the house and there's a large crowd that Cornelius has gathered. Because God had told Cornelius to send for Peter. He's going to give you a message. So Cornelius is not sitting around waiting. Well, I'll wait till Peter gets here to tell anybody. No. He's already filled his house with all his relatives. Everybody can get in. He's got in. Because God said Peter's got a message that we need to hear. And so they're there. When Cornelius meets Peter, remember, God had sent a man in shining clothes, a message from God, to send for Peter. Here's the guy. Cornelius bows down, stretches out in front of him. Now, in some Eastern cultures, you do that for a king. But Greek and Roman culture, you only did that before a god. So Peter said, get up, I'm just a man too. In Revelation, John the Apostle gets a message from an angel of God, and John the Apostle tries to worship the angel. No, no, the angel says, I'm just a messenger too. Only worship God. Peter helps Cornelius up, goes in, and said, let's hear the message now. And look at what happens. Look at verse 33. So I immediately sent for you, and it was good of you to come. So now we are all in the presence of God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord. Cornelius didn't say, you know, we got an hour before lunch, you know, and we got three hymns. We got the offering to take up. We got a special invitation song. So keep it brief. No. We're here to hear everything God has told you to say. So what happens? You've got a receptive audience. You got a messenger from God. You got a message from God. People are prepared. God has arranged a meeting. He prepared the people that might not otherwise ever come into contact with each other. But there was a meeting that God had arranged. And it has an effect on us today. If that meeting with Cornelius had not occurred, the gospel might not have ever left Israel. Because people needed to be explained. There are people prepared to hear the message. People prepared to tell the message. And the two need to come together. We have a message to tell the world. There are people God has prepared. There are some people that won't accept the message. It's okay. It's our job, I like what one person said, was to find those that God's prepared. Well, it's not you. Now, it might be that person later. God had prepared Cornelius. Cornelius had gathered a group that God had prepared ready to hear the message. Peter had been prepared by God, and he's ready to deliver the message. Stand with me for a closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you that we could be here. But you have not called us just to be here to hear this message, but to go and share your message of forgiveness with all we encounter. You have people prepared that we need to tell. Let us not keep silent. In Jesus' name, amen.